Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger Speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle, Seven Invitations from the Lord. And in each of these seven invitations, the word come is used. A number of years ago, a noted author compiled a list of the 10 most beautiful words in the English language. I remember some of them, but not all of them. Love was among them. Peace was among them. Home was among them. And the word come was among those most 10 beautiful words in the English language. I think the word come is probably one of the first words that we learn as a child, as a baby. Come to mother, when we would stub our toe or fall and skin our elbows or something of that, we'd come running and she'd say, come to mother, and she would kiss away the hurt. And then there was always the call the children so loved, come to supper, come to dinner, do we need to limit that one to children? The word come is a warm word. It's a personal word. It's a word of invitation. It's a word that thrills us. We all want to be wanted. We want the invitations. But when God issues the invitations, shouldn't we listen? How would we feel if we received an invitation to the White House, to be a guest of the President? How would we feel under those circumstances? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We would talk about it all our lives, and our children and our grandchildren would probably talk about it too. But what about an invitation from God? Isn't it wonderful to be wanted? And He wants us, and may I say, He wants us so badly that He gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins, to remove that barrier so we could come to Him. And in this series of studies, which we're going to undertake, we have the word come brought to us in so many lovely, different, challenging ways, invitations from the Lord. Shall we listen? During the course of these studies, we're going to consider come for salvation, come for satisfaction, come for rest. Oh, how significant these words are. People are looking for satisfaction. They're looking for rest. And then there's the call for service, come for service, the come for discipleship, the come for fellowship, and the come for eternal blessing. And I'm sure that we will be well occupied in this series of meetings with God's invitation to you and to me. Wanting us so badly, He gave His Son to die on the cross, that barrier of sin might be removed, and now He can properly and in consistency with His holiness say, come, come and enjoy my salvation that I purchased for you at such awful cost. Now, I think that probably one of the significant uses of the word come in regard to an invitation to come to God and reason about our sins is found in the first chapter of Isaiah. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to turn with us to the first chapter of Isaiah. We read there the prophet says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And then he gives an indictment against this nation. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. why should you be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. There's where the trouble starts, in the head. And the whole heart faint. It gets to the heart sooner or later. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. So low was the moral state of Israel. They have not been closed, those wounds, those putrefying sores, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, overthrown by strangers. Now he says this is an indictment. And then listen what he says about their spiritual life. He says, what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Now, weren't those offerings pleasing to God? They were. There was nothing wrong with the offerings. It was with the people of Israel. When they brought the offerings, that was mockery. That was a travesty, an indictment against God himself, as far as they were concerned. And then he says, I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this of your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incenses, and abomination unto me. And then he says, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. When you spread forth your hands, I'll hide my face from you. God says, I want more, I'll hide my face from you. But then, lest they think that they cannot get into his presence, he says in verse 18, come now. The Lord is speaking to Israel. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool, like wool, or as wool. But if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. Come now, let's talk this thing over, he says to Israel. But he says, come now. His patience had worn thin. The patience of God had worn thin, and he says, come now. Now your sins that are scarlet, and scarlet speaks of sin, it speaks of something that needs to be purged. It speaks of blood. And he says, they'll become as white as snow. Your sins are as scarlet, but they shall become as white as snow. That's salvation. And they are red like crimson, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me read the verse in its entirety. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. Now let me tell you something. Red is the universal color for danger. There's danger in this verse. God says, don't wait. Come now. Now there's a companion scripture to this. In Luke chapter 14, in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, this is the Lord speaking. Oh, it takes on deep significance. Listen to what he says. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. You see, this is individual. He said to him, he made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Here's the word now again. Now, ready. Come, for all things are now ready. A word of invitation to a great supper. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. What a flimsy excuse. Had he bought the ground without seeing it? This doesn't make sense. This is a vain excuse. Can't you see it? Then another says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. You mean that you bought those oxen, and you didn't even know whether they could work? And now you use that as an excuse? He says, please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Believe me, one thing is true. He didn't ask his wife, did he? If she wanted to go to a feast that had been prepared, and the man says, come now, for all things are ready, how long do you want your dinner to wait after you've prepared to receive guests? So he sent his servant out of the highways and the byways, and he says, invite anybody. Let them come in. And their house was filled with guests. And then he says, in his pronouncement later, I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Oh, they put it off. They made excuses, and you know, excuses are still being made in regard to the matter of salvation. Somebody says, yes, I know I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner, but I just don't have time. I'm busy now. I'll consider this matter later. Procrastination, as you have heard before, procrastination is a thief of time. Procrastinating is too bad. It's an implement of Satan. Don't consider it now. Have your fun. Go in for your business. You'll have time to think of that in your old age. But when the old age comes, now the desire is gone. Come now. This is the call for salvation, and it's seen as a feast, and a veritable feast it is. You know, there's a word, too, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, where we read there, the Apostle Paul writing, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But you notice the word, the use of the word now? Oh, it's significant. The word three should bind itself upon our memories. God says, come now. Don't wait until you're older to consider the matter of your own soul's salvation. Don't wait, because in those days you won't desire it. You'll think it's too late, or Satan will whisper it's too late now. You don't want to give God the dregs of your life. So God wants you to come. Come in your youth. And certainly, it is the time to accept God's salvation. You know, it's a terrible thing to reject an invitation. These invitations that we're going to consider in this series of studies are issued by God. And certainly, it's worthy of our consideration. May we, in this series of studies, make up our minds that we're going to listen to God. He wants us. We should feel flattered beyond degree. May God speak to our hearts. Our Father, we do pray that in this series of meetings we may come in close contact with you and learn the secrets of your loving heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.